Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, everyone? Happy Monday. Welcome into this edition of the Hoop Crew Hour. As always, Chris Traficante here, broadcasting to you live from the Hoop Crew Central offices. I'm going to start the show the same way we start the show every podcast. Check us out on hoopcrewrundown.com. That's hcrundown.com. We got everything you need, high school, college, NBA, rankings, standings, rumors, reports, anything you need, we got it. From the Celtics all the way on down to the high school level here in Massachusetts, Northeast area. So check us out. Again, that's hcrundown.com. Google us, Hoop Crew Rundown. You'll find us. We've got everything you need, so definitely check us out there. And all of our podcasts are uploaded to our website after they are completed, so definitely check us out there. On Wednesday night, last Wednesday, we did a draft preview show. We talked about what the Celtics needed to do, some of the deals that will be on the table for them, some of the guys they should be selecting. And now we will do our postmortem, our draft review show. We're going to look at everyone the Celtics selected, what did happen, and more importantly, what didn't happen. And we'll also get into, yes, Kevin Durant. He's the hot name right now in the city of Boston. We will talk about him towards the end of the podcast. Let's start with the draft. Thursday draft day was like Christmas morning for me. It always is. I love draft day. I love all the rumors. I love what teams may do. And over the last few years, it's been increasingly more interesting for me just because of all the assets that the Celtics supposedly have. You know, all the draft picks, all the players that other teams may want, the Celtics need and want for a transformative player, a high-end player, has made the last few draft nights very, very interesting. I would say this draft, though, was kind of the pinnacle for them. There was a lot of buzz going into draft night about what they may do, players they were targeting. You know, you heard about the Philadelphia deal. You heard about the Chicago deal for Jimmy Butler. You heard Chris Middleton from the Bucks, Gordon Hayward from the Jazz. There was a lot of names linked to the Celtics in the days before the NBA draft. So, naturally, when the draft started, when Philly went on the clock, you know, you started hearing all this stuff. I mean, Woj was sending out tweets left and right about how the Celtics were in on Jimmy Butler. The Bulls and Celtics were engaged in serious conversations for Butler. How the Celtics were, had an offer in hand from Philadelphia for the number three pick. So they had two trades that seemed to be going well. And you know, when you hear Woj report something like that, you know he's not speaking out of turn. He's speaking because that's firsthand information he's getting from someone very high up. Most likely someone that's pulling the trigger on deals like that. Woj is very tight with a lot of meaningful people in the league, and that's why he's one of, if not the best reporter in all of sports. So when he said that the Celtics and Bulls were in advanced discussions on a Jimmy Butler trade, I mean, everyone thought, now is the time, it's happening, you know. And I remember refreshing Twitter every 5, 6, 7 seconds, just hoping that I was going to be able to see that the Celtics and Bulls had agreed to a trade, or the Celtics and the Sixers, more so the Celtics and the Bulls. We'll talk about that Sixers deal a little bit later, but the Celtics and Bulls had agreed to a trade, and that's what I was hoping to see. And, you know, I was actually, you know, with some people at the time, and they were kind of asking, what's going to happen? What are they going to do? And I said, I was firmly on the train that they were going to draft Chris Dunn. I thought they valued Chris Dunn, and I thought whether they kept Chris Dunn or more likely they were going to auction off Chris Dunn to the highest bidder, that's what I thought was going to happen. I thought the Boston Celtics were going to pick Chris Dunn, and we wouldn't hear about a trade for a little bit if there was one, or if they just kept him, then I think everyone could live with that because I think Chris Dunn has a very high ceiling. But as I'm refreshing Twitter, Jeff Goodman works for ESPN, very tight with Danny Ainge. He's actually in the Celtics draft room. He was the first one to tweet it out, and I remember reading it, and I remember just putting my head down on the table. Boston Celtics select Jaylen Brown. Now, when I say I put my head down on the table, a lot of people go, yeah, I know, because Jaylen Brown's no good. Now, it had nothing to do with Jaylen Brown. I wrote an article on our website, HC Rundown, I think it was June 8th, about why Jaylen Brown would probably be the selection for the Celtics. He fits everything they want in a player. He's a high-character kid. He works his butt off. He's terrific defensively. He's versatile on both ends. Needs a little work offensively, but that seems to be something that they value for some reason. And I think that if he committed, you know, in the future, maybe a year or 2 years into his career, if he committed to playing that small ball four, you know, kind of like Draymond Green plays, you know, I think Brown could be good because I think his handle is pretty good, and I think he's quick to get into the lane and make the next pass. Decision-making for all rookies needs to be improved. That's not anything different, but Brown certainly needs to be improved. But I think in a year or two, once he understands the speed of the game, I think that that small ball four would be a fantastic spot for him. You know, but when the Celtics had selected Brown, it kind of ended all the trade talks. There weren't many teams that were, you know, knocking at the door to acquire Jaylen Brown. You know, there were a lot of teams that, you know, had interest in him, but I'm not sure they had interest in him that high. I think 5 to 8 was more Jaylen Brown's range. You know, but in the case of the Celtics, you know, you do want to ensure that you get the guy that you want. And if the Celtics really wanted Jaylen Brown, then it probably made sense to just stay on the board at 3 and pick him. You know, Wick Grosbeck comes out after the draft, says, you know, the deals we were getting were laughable. You know, I was hearing, you know, from different Chicago Bulls sources that, you know, the offer was the number 3 pick, 16 overall, and some combination of Jay Crowder, Avery Bradley, or Marcus Smart. The deal I'm seeing the most of, though, is 3, 16, and Jay Crowder for Jimmy Butler. And to me, you know, hearing that the Celtics didn't make that trade because they didn't want to give up Jay Crowder, they wanted to hang on to Crowder. You know, I love Jay Crowder. I love what he's become. I think he's improved dramatically. I don't think he was healthy in that playoff series against Atlanta this year, and I think that that hurt the team. But if we're being realistic, Jimmy Butler is still a very, very far better player than Jay Crowder. I know Crowder's got a better contract. I know Crowder doesn't limit your cap flexibility, but this was the thing I was concerned about. I was concerned that the Celtics, because they have all these guys that are either draft picks or guys that they've acquired and had on their team for multiple years, that they would fall in love with these guys. And I think Jay Crowder is the perfect example of that. And that was what I was concerned about. You know, other reports had that it was 3, 16, 23, next year's Brooklyn pick, Smart, Bradley, and Crowder for Butler. Obviously, I'm not a moron. I'm not doing that trade. No one would make that trade. But I don't think how could that have been an offer? You know, if Chicago offered that, then shame on them and shame on me for thinking that it was false. But I just don't see that as a likely offer that was made. You know, but again, no deals were made. I think the Philadelphia deal, which was Nerlens Noel, Robert Covington, number 24 and number 26 for the 3rd overall pick, just the 3rd overall pick. On paper, it looks like, wow, the Celtics are getting a lot for that pick. But substance-wise, you're really not. You know, Robert Covington is a role player, rotation player at best. I think he's a few pegs below a Jay Crowder in terms of what you're getting from him. He's not a great defender. He's a pretty good shooter, but that's about it. In retrospect, the deal was really number 3 for Nerlens Noel straight up. And the value in that deal is not high. I don't think Nerlens Noel is worth the number 3 pick. If Jeff Teague is going for the number 12 pick, then Nerlens Noel is not worth the number 3 pick. So good move by Danny Ainge there, taking the upside on Jaylen Brown. But let's talk about the guys the Celtics did draft. Okay, obviously we're all disappointed they didn't make that deal on draft night, because that's what they've been talking about for a long time. We were looking forward to draft night because of the things these executives have been saying to us, fireworks and this and that. But let's look at the guys the Celtics did draft. Obviously kicking it off, Jaylen Brown. Jaylen Brown is I don't want to say safe pick because I hate that word. Otto Porter was also a safe pick, you know, and look how he turned out. But Jaylen Brown, to me, is the kind of guy who will have a role in the NBA. You know, he defends. He can defend right now. If the season started tomorrow, he could probably slide in and play 15 to 20 minutes a game just because of the fact that he can defend. Obviously, we've all heard the negatives on Brown. He's not a very good shooter. He struggles at times to get to the basket when someone gets in his way. But I will say this. and I'm not – don't take this as me talking up the pick, because there's you're not going to know about this pick for another year, 2 years, 3 years down the road and how it turns out. But his shooting, he was a good shooter in high school. He shot 35% in high school. He shot 29% in college. From three, I'm talking. From three, he shot 29%. He only took 102 threes in college. So that's a small sample size. So obviously your makes and misses skew one way or the other depending on how you make or miss even just one or two shots. You know, so if Jaylen Brown made 102 or took 102 threes in college, if he makes four or five more than he missed, we're talking about a 35, 36% three-point shooter, you know? So it's a very small sample size. It could have been a bad year because he was a semi-decent shooter in high school. So that's another thing to take into account. And when people talk about his decision-making and putting his head down and gets a lot of offensive foul calls because he just drives it into people, I think that has a lot to do with the lane being clogged. Cal always played with the big and Ivan Rabb, who wasn't a space stretch four. He played 15 feet in it, you know, and Rabb's a good player. Brown's a really good player, and they were supposed to lead the team to the promised land, but they ran an offense that was very, very compacted at Cal, and I think that hindered Brown a little bit. You know, I think in the NBA where the game's more spread open, and especially with the Celtics, we've seen Brad Stevens likes to keep that floor spread. I do think Brown has the ability to drive closeouts, to get into the paint, to make the next pass, to finish way above the rim because he is a supreme athlete. I think that the fit is a pretty good one. I think, you know, obviously this might make re-signing Evan Turner a little bit more murky because Brown needs to play. You know, it's not like Terry Rozier and R.J. Hunter where they can just ride the bench. Jaylen Brown needs to play if he was the number three pick. You know, so to me, I think on paper, you know, I think that this makes an interesting conversation for Jay Crowder right now. I think Crowder might be better suited to just slide down to the power forward position. I'm not saying Jaylen Brown's going to start, you know, but I am, you know, I think that a lineup of Brown at the three and Crowder at the four with Avery Bradley and Isaiah Thomas is interesting. Because you're really good defensively, like really good defensively on the perimeter. So I think that it definitely gives the Celtics more versatility, and that's obviously what matters to Brad Stevens. So don't get so down on this pick because I think Brown can definitely play at the next level, and that's the most important thing. Can the guy you select play at the next level? And in Brown's case, I think he can. So you're not getting a stiff. You know, you're not getting a bust. I think Brown can play at the next level. It's just, is he going to be more like Jay Crowder, or is he going to be more like a Paul Pierce, Kawhi Leonard, Jimmy Butler type player? You know, because I've seen comparisons to Jay Crowder. I think that's a fair comparison. But I've also seen that his, you know, Jaylen Brown and Paul Pierce's numbers in college were eerily similar. You know, Jimmy Butler didn't shoot a three in college, didn't take a three-pointer in college. Let that sink in for Jimmy Butler did not attempt a three-point shot in college, so that shot is developed, and I think Brown and Butler possess a lot of the same skills. So maybe the Celtics just drafted Jimmy Butler and Jaylen Brown. So, again, you're not going to know how this turns out until another year or 2 years down the road, but the most important thing is I think the Celtics got someone that can step in and play right away, and that mattered to them. That's why they didn't consider Dragan Bender. That's why they didn't consider Marquise Chris. They were looking for guys that could step in and play right away. And to my knowledge, it came down to Jaylen Brown or Chris Dunn, and they went with Jaylen Brown because obviously he's fit on the roster and where he ranked on there. So number three overall pick, Jaylen Brown. Don't hate on the pick just yet. Give it another year or 2 years before you get the pitchforks out on that kid because I do think that there is an opportunity for him to be a pretty good player. At number 16, they select Gershon Yabusele. I don't really know what to say to that pick. He looks like the French Jared Sollinger. He is a wide-bodied human being. He's pretty skilled, though. I mean, he can shoot it from three. He's an explosive athlete. He can handle it a little bit. I wouldn't expect to see Yabusele for another year or 2 years if you ever see him at all. I think the Celtics are going to pay good money. You know, to get him to stay overseas for a little while he works on the game. So I'm not too worried about Gershon Yabusele. That pick to me was more about retaining cap flexibility. As you guys know, all first-round picks in the NBA are guaranteed contracts. Jaylen Brown's going to make about $3 or $4 million a year just on his pick slot at number three. So Yabusele would have probably been about $1.5 to $2 million in his pick slot at number 16. So the Celtics save a little bit of money there. They don't have to pay Yabusele if he's playing overseas, you know, or something like that. So probably a smart move by Danny Ainge. There was nobody on the board that was a real difference maker. I think they would have considered Denzel Valentine there. But with him going two picks earlier, they pick up Yabusele and don't have to pay him. And that's kind of the same thing they did at number 23 with Ante Zizic. Zizic to the Celtics for a little while. He's been someone that's been on their radar. He's 6'11", led the Adirondack League in rebounding as a 19-year-old, which is pretty huge for somebody like that, somebody that young to do what he was doing. Again, Zizic has said that he wants to play in the league right now. The Celtics are not going to let that happen. Same deal, even if it's for just one more year, I would expect Zizic to go overseas. He's the kind of kid that, you know, if the Celtics ever were to sign a max free agent or two max free agents, or, you know, somehow have two or three max salaries on their roster, he would be the perfect player to, you know, say, well, we can't sign a free agent big for the kind of money that we have. Let's bring over Zizic, and he can play those kind of minutes for us. When I looked at Zizic and watched a little bit of him play, I thought of DeMontis Sabonis. He's a little bit less skilled, but his energy, his motor, his athleticism is a little bit similar. He's a little bit taller than Sabonis as well. His length is a little bit better, but I thought of DeMontis Sabonis a little bit when I was watching Ante Zizic. So not a bad pick for the Celtics. Again, not going to cost them any money this year, so hard to really complain about that selection. The Celtics did get some value in the second round, I'll tell you. I mean, apart from the trade they made with Memphis, I'm not even going to mention it because it was useless, giving up picks 31 and 35. But at number 45, they go back on the clock, and I remember, you know, at this point I was sitting in front of my TV and I'm thinking to myself, what in the world is this team going to do now? You know, everyone was going kind of negative on them, and rightfully so. They hadn't really made a groundbreaking move or a groundbreaking selection yet. And the Celtics at 45 went with Demetrius Jackson, point guard from Notre Dame. Everyone had him going in the first round. Anywhere from like 14 to the back end of the first round was Jackson's range. He fell to 45. There was no medical concerns. He just slipped. You know, there's a lot of point guards in the NBA right now. A lot of teams are set at the point guard, so Jackson just kind of fell based on what teams need. And the Celtics at 45, all second-round picks, non-guaranteed contracts. You know, you take Jackson 10 out of 10 times in that spot. So it was a great job by the seas. Brad Stevens recruited Jackson at Butler, heavily recruited Jackson at Butler. He's a very, very high-character kid again. His motor's always going. I think he's going to be a great defender at the next level. I think he can get into the paint a little bit. When I think of Jackson, I think if Jackson was in the draft last year, I would have taken Jackson over Terry Rozier, and I still think Jackson right now is a better player than Terry Rozier. So we'll see how that shakes out. You know, I think Rozier's got to be kind of watching his back a little bit because I think Jackson could certainly fight for a roster spot on this team this year with that non-guaranteed contract. And at 51, still just go back on the clock. And I remember saying to myself, you know, me and my buddies had a group chat going, and the Celtics said the same thing. Please don't take another man named Gershon or anything like that. And I said, listen, Ben Bentel's on the board. You go get him. And lo and behold, I saw the tweet, Celtics select Ben Bentel. Huge news for me. I love Ben Bentel. Leading scorer in the Big East. Almost dropped 50 on Butler this season. Bentel can really score the ball inside, outside. He can shoot it from three. He's got a quick release. He doesn't think about it. He catches and shoots. He's got no conscience, which is great. I think he is exactly what the league is trending towards in terms of stretch fours, who can play a little bit inside, play a little bit outside. So I think Bentel also has a chance to stick on this roster. I think he's got to improve a little bit in terms of his lateral quickness, but again, it's his full-time job now, so we'll see what that looks like come training camp, come the summer league, all the things that have been going on. So, you know, I think when people look at the draft, they say, a little bit underwhelming, but Celtics' first round was Jaylen Brown at 3, Demetrius Jackson at 16, and Ben Bentel at number 23, and then Yabusele and Zizic in the second round. I think a lot of people were saying, oh, that's a really good draft by Danny Ainge, you know. And all the, you know, I love the people that come out and do the draft grade, you know, like, are you kidding me with that crap? The draft grade, you know. a lot of people had the Celtics as getting some of the most talented players in the draft, and other people didn't like their draft because they didn't make a move. But no one really mentioned that the Celtics got bad players. They just said, you know, the Celtics don't receive a high grade here because they had higher aspirations. And that's fair, you know. But I do think that the narrative would certainly flip if Jackson and Bentzel went in the first round and Zizic and Yabusele went in the second. But now they don't have to pay Zizic or Yabusele, and they, you know, they don't have to pay Jackson or Bentzel serious money or guaranteed money to be on their team, which is huge. Huge news for the Celtics. And, you know, overall, I would have loved to see them make a trade, as all of you guys would, but a pretty good draft all in all for the season. Again, you can't judge it right now. You know, I know in the world we live in, it's easy to judge things. You know, you can judge that Danny Ainge didn't make a deal. You can judge that Danny Ainge didn't do this. But you can't judge this draft class or these picks yet, because it's not fair. You know, they haven't stepped foot on the court. They haven't given themselves the opportunity to better themselves. Don't judge the picks yet. Give it a year or two, and then we can certainly make our decisions on that. Let's talk a little bit about the report over the weekend from Adrian Wojnarowski, Yahoo Sports, in the Vertical. Talking about KD, Kevin Durant, where Durant is looking to be meeting with teams heading into free agency. Durant is only meeting with six teams, okay? We'll say five teams, not including Oklahoma City, who, of course, he was going to meet with. So apart from his team, the Oklahoma City Thunder, Durant is only going to meet with five teams. That's it. Okay? The Lakers, not getting a meeting. The Washington Wizards, his hometown team, not getting a meeting. The New York Knicks, probably not going to get a meeting with Durant. The Houston Rockets, not going to get a meeting with Durant. So to me, this report showed there are only five other teams in the league that Kevin Durant would seriously consider joining if all things were equal. Those five teams, okay, obviously the first team, Oklahoma City, okay, the next five, the Golden State Warriors, the San Antonio Spurs, the Los Angeles Clippers, the Miami Heat, and your Boston Celtics. Okay, yes, the Boston Celtics have piqued the interest of Kevin Durant. It's huge news from the standpoint that they're just getting a meeting. You know, I don't know where Kevin Durant's going to go. You know, I have my guess. I think he goes back to OKC or he goes to Golden State. That would be my guess. But I have no way of knowing. You know, Danny Ainge once sold Kevin Garnett on being traded to Boston, a city that had been known for racism in the past. He sold KG on coming here, and the rest is history. You know, the overwhelming thing that you've been seeing on social media and talk radio over the weekend was, well, what is the pitch to Durant? What do you say to Kevin Durant to get him to come to Boston? You know, and, you know, you've heard people say, you talk about the tradition, and that's always gotten Celtics in such a hole, is talking about all that crap. Okay, no one cares about what the Celtics did in 1955 when guys were wearing underwear for game shorts, you know, and their socks were coming up to their knees. No one cares about that. You know, they want to hear about what you can do now and in the future moving forward. And from that standpoint, believe it or not, I think the Celtics are set up pretty nicely. You know, they have Brad Stevens. They have Danny Ainge in place. You know, their structure, their foundation is sound. They have a system in place. You know, they have a definite direction moving forward. They've been an ascending team. They haven't taken a step back, then a step forward, then two steps back. Every year under Stevens, it's been another notch up the ladder. They've helped guys, role players like Bradley and Thomas and Crowder and Smart and Turner. And he's taken all those guys and molded them into a 48-win roster. So you have to assume that with talent, Brad Stevens can do a lot of things. So I think you sell Durant on the structure and the direction of the franchise, and then I think you sell the cap space that you have. You know, I'm not sure that it's going to mean anything, but they are the only team that can offer two max contracts without hurting the rest of their team. You know, hypothetically, they could sign Durant and Al Horford without getting rid of anybody. They don't have to do anything. They can just sign those two outright. So that's another thing you can sell. Hey, Kevin, you bring whoever you want here. We will get whoever you want. You tell us, and we can do it without disrupting our roster. You know? And the third thing I think you sell him on is what happens when you win in the city. You know, I think you have guys like Tom Brady and David Ortiz and Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett. I think you have those guys in the room. And you tell them, listen, hey, when you win, this is your city. You have this city in the palm of your hands. There is nothing like winning in Boston. You know, you win in Boston, you are made into a folk hero for the rest of your life. And I think that that's something that would really appeal to Durant. Listen, you will lead this franchise. You will be the face of this franchise. You will be the face of this area, the face of the sport in this area. And on top of that, you will be taking one of the most storied franchises and leading them to their next championship, Banner 18. You know, and like I said, once you win, you're immortalized. You know, Kevin Garnett was here for 5-6 years. He wins in year one, and he is a folk hero. You talk about KG here, and it is nothing but pure love for Garnett. You know, Garnett may even one day have his number retired. He played here for 5 years. You know, so that's, I think that would be what I would try to sell Durant on. And it's hard because you look at all these other teams, Westbrook in Oklahoma City, Curry, Thompson, Green, Golden State, Leonard and Aldridge in San Antonio, D-Wade in Miami, Chris Paul, Blake Griffin in L.A. All these other teams have established stars, and all you can pitch is cap space. But Kevin Durant is an interesting dude. He's an interesting cat, and it's hard to know what really matters to him in the grand scheme of things. So very, very interesting moving forward. We'll see what happens with Durant as a Celtics fan and as a Celtics enthusiast. I would tell you guys, don't get too amped up about it, because I think you're going to get your heart ripped out if you get too amped up about it. Because I do think he's just going to go back. And Woj had another report today on CBS Sports Radio that maybe this is kind of setting the groundwork for next year, that ultimately he goes back to OKC. And, you know, he learns a little bit about these teams and keeps an eye on these teams next year and prepares himself and sets himself up to sign a long-term deal next year when the cap rises. I think that makes a lot of sense. But then you see other reports that Durant doesn't want to do this twice. You can really sell Durant. There's an opportunity here. The only thing that matters to him is who he's playing with and the people around him. So I don't know. There's a lot out there about Durant. I don't think anyone but Durant really knows. No, Ainge has a very close relationship with Durant's mother and some of Durant's other family members, so maybe that plays into it. Look, I don't know how it's all going to go down. It's going to be the summer of Durant. His answer supposedly will be made before July 9th. He's going on a publicity tour on July 9th, so we'd like to have his answer then. So, you know, we'll see. We will see what happens with Kevin Durant. Just a thought on the publicity tour. If he was going on an international publicity tour, I don't think he would pick a new team. I think he would go back to OKC. Because if he did pick a new team, say the Golden State Warriors, I think they would want to have him around to introduce him rather than have him go to the European countries for a couple of weeks. I think they would like to have him stateside. So just an opinion on that. But we will see what happens. Again, the Celtics, one of six teams to meet with impending free agent Kevin Durant. That'll do it for this edition, this podcast edition of the Hoop Crew Hour. Again, we started talking about the Celtics draft picks, what happened, what didn't happen. We finished up with KD, Kevin Durant, and a report that he is going to meet with your Boston Celtics. We will talk to you guys probably later on this week, whether before free agency starts on Thursday, July 1 at midnight, or the next day. We will talk about some of the names that have been linked to the Celtics. Maybe some deals have already been struck. We'll talk about the Kevin Durant meetings, I'm sure, over the next week plus here as things continue to get interesting on that front. But we will definitely be talking soon about some of the guys the Celtics may be bringing in or some of the guys the Celtics have signed. We will have to wait and see what happens on that front. Like I said, check us out, Hoop Crew Rundown. Our podcast will be up there. It'll be up on social media. But check us out on Hoop Crew Rundown. We got everything you need. Promise I will not disappoint. We will talk to you guys soon. Again, enjoy free agency. Starts Thursday night at midnight. Enjoy it. I know there's a Celtics free agency preview show on CSNNE featuring Chris Mannix. So check it out. Chris Mannix is a great dude to listen to. He knows what he's talking about. He's plugged in. So certainly get in front of your TV at midnight and watch that. We will talk to you guys soon. Goodbye.